wings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
As usual, I've got a title here. I don't know whether there'll be one or two teachings or even more. The Lord knows. But we're calling today's teaching, My Love for God. My Love for God. As I was considering this and meditating on this, praying over this and preparing in the Word, I thought, you know, much of our walk and all that we go through and we learn, and we're learning about faith and the deeper life, is for this very reason. My love for God. And how much God has to work in our lives and hearts in which we experience that love. You see, we're all very keen to know that God is a God of love, and indeed he is, and his love has brought us here today in fellowship. But what he has to teach and do with us is that we also have that confidence and faith in our hearts that we love God also. And that is why we walk each day with him, and we go through the trials and the tribulations that we go through, because it's all about my love for God. And you see, this is why we have to have a faith that is active, as James certainly expresses. And the reason being is because an active faith says, this is my love for God. Now, at times we know we fall flat on our faces, but the love and mercy of God has a way of getting us back up and continuing to walk. Some of us may have missed it this week. Well, you can't bring it back. It's done. You've missed it, but you can move on and you can meet the next thing that God has for you and I. Because it's about our love for God. We speak much about God's love, but we're going to speak about our love for him. And the scriptures have much, much to say about this. And I'll start off with a few scriptures. I may move quite quickly with this, but of course you can always go over these teachings again. But the first thing that comes to mind is when the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were always challenging the Lord, there's a particular time going on here where the Sadducees are arguing about the resurrection, because they had problems with that teaching. And one scribe comes up and he asks this of the Lord, and we can find this in Mark 12 and verse 28. Mark 12 and verse 28, and it says this, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And of course, that scribe admitted that Jesus had answered well. He liked what he heard. And his reply back, Jesus liked, and he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And there are many we know who are near the kingdom of God. And that's why we continue to pray and intercede for them. We know that the Lord was taking this from Deuteronomy. From Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Again, we get a similar insight here. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And he said, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord with your God, with all your heart and with all your soul." And then it goes on about to keep his commandments and statutes. So it says that we are to love him by serving him with all our heart and with all our soul. Notice that is what God requires and asks of us. We then see also in Exodus, verse chapter 20 and verse 6, Exodus 20 and verse 6, and we see how this is manifested, this love. And he says, "But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." So we begin to realize that if we love the Lord, then we show great mercy and we love our neighbor as ourselves. So think about how much you love yourselves, and you'll know how much you love yourselves by how much time you minister to yourselves. That is always a good giveaway. If you are self-centered, always thinking of self first, you are not knowing God's love. And so he's showing us that if we love God, then we're going to have mercy and grace, and we will also love our neighbors as ourselves. So it's showing mercy and forgiveness. And we will look into some of this in more detail. But I still want us just to glean from the scriptures what he's saying to us with regard my love for God. And turn also to 2 John 6. 2 John and verse 6. And he says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So all the while, we are encouraged, we are challenged, that if we love God, then we do it according to his commandments. In other words, we obey the light and the revelation of God's word. And we find also in 1 John 5 and verse 3, 1 John 5 and verse 3, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Now, we like to make excuses. Well, who can keep God's commandments? They're way, way too hard and difficult. But we're not going to be able to get away with that, because we've just read to you here. And this is why we have given this. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Notice how it opens up. He says, "For this is the love of God." So it takes the love of God to change our hearts from stone to flesh, to put that faith in us to believe, so that we can confess and say his commandments are not burdensome. so I can keep them. I can walk in his ways. I can please him. That is what faith will believe. That is what it confesses. It doesn't make these excuses because God does not make a mistake. He wouldn't put that there. He wouldn't put every jot and tittle of his word to us if it's not possible. And all he has said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Yes, including verse 3 of 1 John 5. Now, how God works that and achieves that, well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's called walking daily with God and maturing and overcoming and so on by faith. You see, we're beginning to see, aren't we, now, why our faith and belief in these promises is so vital. And how the powers of darkness attack the church today from releasing and believing and having faith in these promises. They only just go so far. But God is taking us all the way. He is taking all the limits off our faith, our confession, our belief. Yes, even my love for God. And we've all of us fallen short of that standard, have we not? You see, we're seeing that God's love is worked in us when we have settled on keeping his commandments. It doesn't matter whether your mind says, I can't do this or I can do this. It's not about you. It's about you and I settling on these promises. And when we settle it, then the grace and love and mercy begins to work with us. Because he knows we can't. And this is why I always say he's never made a mistake over you or I, no matter how it looks. And this is why we make so much about discipleship, putting your hand to the plow and not looking back, taking your cross up each day and following him. You settle it. Why do you settle it? Because there's no turning back. There's no looking back. There's no making excuses. Every challenge I see, everything that requires faith to believe in God's word, well, it's got to happen. It has to happen because I'm on a one-way ticket and there's no return. There's only one way forward. And whatever I'm challenged with, my faith says I am well able to take the land. I don't know how. I don't know when. In the natural, it looks impossible. But God has made no mistake. And we are going to value this faith teaching that God is giving us because so many hearts are failing in these last days. So many are going back. It happened in the early church. It happened with Jesus, all his disciples. They could no longer walk with him because they said what he was saying, it's a hard saying. Who can keep this? And they went back and he looked to his disciples, the 12, and he said, are you going to go back also? But you see, something was different with them because they realized, they said, we can't go back. Well, what is there to go back? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. That was revelation. And it's always revelation to us. I thank God I have revelation. I can't go back and I don't want to go back. The word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've tasted too much and it's good. So praise God for this. even though we are challenged in our faith. And this is a challenging subject, my love for God. It challenged me. But then we need that, because that stops us pretending. It stops us living in denial, which so many professing Christians do. We've done it, or we may still be doing it. But God loves us enough to open our ears and eyes and heart and to show us that he has overcome the world. He has gone before and prepared the way. And all he has asked of us said, keep your eyes 24/7 on me. The word challenges us from cover to cover to keep our eyes on him. And he will be faithful to bring us through, no matter how much our faith is challenged. And it is. And it has to be challenged, because faith is like a spiritual muscle. And like all muscles, they have to be used. Otherwise, you become ineffective. And in the natural, in our bodies, muscle wastage happens very quickly with us. So that's telling us something. So we are seeing then that God's love is worked in us when we settle this walk, because then self gets out of the way. And that is always the big problem. It is self getting in the way. Because when we get self out of the way, then we experience God is a miracle working God. My life, your life is a miracle, because it cannot happen otherwise. And that is what encourages us. That is what makes us go on, because God, our Father, is a miracle working God. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. But all I know is he does, and he is. And this is our spiritual manna that we feed from in order to be kept spiritually well and healthy. You see, the Spirit will not work through you to the degree that he wants to work if there is no cross in your life. Because we know what the cross does. Let's remind ourselves again. It puts the self life to death. Daily I die. That means me, what I want, my planning, my scheming, my desires above God. When the cross is settled, then you can look at your love for God, and you will begin to blossom and grow and mature. That's what it does. Now, in 1 John 5 and verse 3, he says this in 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, it's interesting in this, because it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, it's interesting, but in Greek, it actually means, the word keep here, it means to actually be watchful. I'm on guard. I guard myself. So, for this is the love of God, that I guard, I watch his commandments, because his commandments are not burdensome. So because they are not a burden, which the devil wants me to believe that they are, and he's a liar. I deliberately am watchful. I am guarding God's word, God's commandments. I do it because the devil is a liar and says, I can't do it. And this is what we do. Did you know that we are supposed to be guardians, custodians of God's word? You have been given the revelation of God's word, each of you, to guard it and keep it and watch over it. That is why you are light in the world, and you divide darkness wherever you go, when led by the Spirit, or what your ministry does, or what the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because you have the revelation of God's word. You have the light in you. And therefore, you guard it. You are watchful. You are on guard to what you listen to. There's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of tapes out there, messages, videos, myriads of them. We have to be on our guard because we are custodians of this, what God is giving to us. You see, you cannot have the word and teaching like this without responsibility that comes with it. I am very aware of this. I am very aware how God graciously is opening up this word, a message of preparation in the last days. I'm very aware of this, and I'm aware of the responsibility that I have as well. And this is all part of our love, my love for God. Now, taking this a step further, my love for him is expressed by serving him. Now, it's interesting, the Apostle Paul, in his writings to the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, listen to what he says here. Remember, we're talking about my love for God. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Now, he's writing that because, as you know, the church at Thessalonica, yes, persecution, but they were also seeing many of the saints were going, were falling asleep in the Lord. And they're raising a question, well, when is the Lord coming? You know, in many ways, similar situation like us. A lot of our brothers and sisters, the forerunners, are all now in glory with the Lord. And we at times wonder, Lord, when are you coming? When is it going to happen? And God knows there'll be that right time. But this is what he wants of us. And the Apostle Paul saw it with this faithful church. And he said, remembering in our prayers without ceasing your work of faith. He didn't just say your belief of faith, your works of faith. They're living it. Labor of love. Their love for one another. They're sharing. They're loving their neighbor. They're active. And the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. That is commendable in the sight of God. God knows that that cannot be achieved in the natural, all of that. Unless you love God with all your heart and soul and mind and being, that can't happen. And he sees that and he praises and he thanks the Lord for this. That gives encouragement to the apostle, because he doesn't get much encouragement. It didn't take long after 60, 70 years for the church to start apostatizing, losing sight of the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you read the book of James, particularly the end of the book of James, he's raising 60, 70 years after what's happening. How the church is apostatizing, how few there are left. No difference. As I always keep saying, it's nothing new under the sun. And we're in the same situation, but it's infinitely worse because we're seeing the great apostasy in the whole world. We're seeing the rise of the Antichrist spirit coming forth. And many, many Christians are in denial over all of that. They don't want to see it. They don't want to discuss it or talk about it. It upsets me. It disturbs me. But it's a means of us getting ready. The gospel is also to be a warning to the world. The prophets are to speak out as a warning to the world, to turn and repent, for judgment is coming. And we know in Hebrews, God says, I will shake in the last days the heavens and the earth. He'll shake it all, and it's happening. We're in the time of shaking. And everybody's trying to find an answer, but you won't. Because it's God that's shaking. And the devil knows that God is shaking. And he's become cornered. Satan knows his kingdom is being divided by your prayers, your warfare, your intercession. This is why he tries to stop us. This is why he's trying to stop you. Because he knows you have the revelation, the insight of dividing his kingdom. He's becoming like a trapped animal, cornered. And so his last attack will be to come and deceive and to bring his host and armies of demonic forces. Can you not see what's being unfolded? The man-child, Revelation 12, is the center to all of this. That's why the dragon's there trying to abort, trying to stop this. But he can't. And you know why? Because the overcomers have got their eyes fixed like a flint on Jesus, our overcomer, who's gone before. And to do that, it takes faith. You don't get this overnight. And so the enemy now is coming forth in vengeance, in wrath. Because he knows his place in the heavens is shortly coming to an end. When the Lord comes for the church, for the bride, the overcomers, he has no place there anymore. He has to go, and the church takes its rightful place in the heavens. That's why we're there with him now in heavenly places by faith. And that's soon visibly to manifest. And the only thing he's got is to go forth, deceive through the Antichrist, and he will meet his fate when the Lord Jesus Christ, his feet come and stand upon the Mount of Olives, and he brings his rulership through the throne of David. It's all happening, brothers and sisters, before our eyes. We know it in our spirit and hearts. That's why I'm getting all these amens and exactly and so forth, because you are quickened. You know it is right because it's revelation revealed to you. Not all see this, brothers and sisters. Yes, the perfect storm is coming. And do they hear? Do they listen? No. But your prayers, your intercessions are going to save a remnant in the great tribulation. That is why I say, do not continue stopping praying for your family, your loved ones, and those that God places on your heart. They will be saved through tribulation. Yes, they may have to go to martyrdom, but they will have revelation that the mark of the beast must not be taken. They will have revelation, as God is showing us, that the taking of that mark, the worshipping of that image, is because it changes man. This whole technology that's coming forth, this transhumanism, is to change us. That's what the powers of darkness want to do. And this is why the mRNA vaccines, or jabs as we call them, affect the DNA. They tell you it doesn't, but it does. It's to alter you so you are no longer in the image of Almighty God as He made and created you. And that's why this has a patent, which means that somebody owns this. And therefore, people who are taking this are being owned. They're becoming slaves to this. This is what is going to be in the mark. And this is why they try to silence all of this and disguise all of this. But I've been giving out information on this, and there's another video that I believe that's confirmed what God has been showing me over these last 6 years. This is to alter man. This is what transhumanism is about, to change you. And they want to do this through this technology. And this is why they want to now govern through the World Health. And so each country will surrender to the World Health. So they will no longer have the say. The World Health will. And we're seeing signs of this. Did you hear recently that Brazil is going to prosecute, imprison those that do not take this mRNA jab? It's coming. And do people acknowledge this? No. You've got Christians that run away and bury their heads in the sand. It is time to wake up before it's too late. And if you love God, because that is what we're talking about, you cannot run away from anything God is revealing and showing us. I don't go on and on about this all the time, like a lot of ministers are now. That's all they ever talk about now, this subject. We don't do that. It comes up as the Holy Spirit brings it up in the right time and way. But we stay with the Word of God. We stay with the teaching. But we cannot get away from what is happening. And that is why we pray, we intercede. And that is why we pray for our country, for our leaders, our politicians, that God in his mercy will open their eyes, even at this last stage that we're in. We don't stop praying, we don't stop believing until the Lord comes for us and calls us away. That's what prayer does. That is what love does. That is what mercy does. So you keep with your prayers, thanking the Lord for your family, for their salvation, friends, and so on. That's why we continue with that. But we cannot deny what is happening. And this is why you cannot believe most media today. It is a fake media, covering it all up. This is what's happening now, as the enemy is being trapped. He's coming forth in vengeance, in wrath. Remember, he is still the God of this world until he's finally put down. And remember this also, there is an order in heaven. Because we sometimes just think, oh Lord, just push him down. You've got authority and power and might. You can do anything. God even moves by spiritual laws and principles, which he has decreed. And it goes on in the courts of heaven as well. I'm reminded of the warring angel over the disputing over the soul, the body of Moses. And what did he say? He said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Even that archangel submitted to the authority that Satan had, but he did it the right way. You go through the right channels, and we go through the right channels, and his name is Jesus. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of Jesus. And we are not flippant with the enemy or the powers of darkness. But God has given us that authority in his name. And we're using it. And we believe upon it. And that's why he's baptized us in the Spirit. And he hates those languages that come out of our mouth as the Spirit gives utterance and leads and guides, because he doesn't know what is being said. That goes straight to the throne room of God. He doesn't like that warfare that is going on that comes from your spirit. And that is what's dividing, weakening him. Can you not see why he tried to stop the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This is why he tried to destroy the charismatic movement. And yes, a lot of it did go wrong. But God was one step ahead all the way, because he knew out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there would be a remnant that would come out of it. See, God always brings a remnant out of everything, and he will bring a remnant out of the great tribulation. It's all there in Revelation, you can read it. And part of that remnant is the prayers of the saints who have prayed and believed for those people that we bring before the mercy seat of God. That is why it says in Revelation that all the prayers of the saints, it's all there like incense, and it all comes up to the throne of God. It's sweet. It's a perfume. It's an incense. It's the cost of prayer, intercession, pressing in. All of that comes up for God to answer. So never give up, brothers and sisters. If the love of God is in your heart and the mercy and grace of God is in your heart, never give up. That is why our Lord said at the cross, before he gave up the ghost, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Had the Lord not prayed that prayer, you and I would not be here today. So our love for him is expressed by our serving him. And of course, the apostle saw this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. You see, the ones who love the Lord will labour intensely. You know, those that want an easy, prosperous life, very often you find the absence of the love of God is there. They don't really love. They're more interested in their creaturely comforts and what they want to do. And it's very, very sad when you've got many who call themselves Christians and yet you find the love of God is not really there and expressed. What does Psalm 97 and verse 10 tell us? Psalm 97 and verse 10. "You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." It's you who love the Lord. There's his promise. He will deliver you from the hands of the wicked who otherwise want to destroy us. And love for God also manifests itself in a hate for evil. If you love God, there is a desire for truth, a desire what is right. You cannot love evil if you have a love for God. You see, one who loves the Lord, you can't continue in sin. And we all of us grapple at times. We've all of us fallen short of the standard. But there is something within you, if you love the Lord, you can't settle until that is confessed, until that is brought before God. What does it say, as we know, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And it goes on, "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, that is not of the Father." Because that's what happens. If there's that pride, that lusting of the eye, that covetousness, and so on, all of that is fleshly. It's the world. And it's an indicator that you don't really love God. You see, a lack of love will set one's affection and in the world. You want that gratification. You want what the world can give. You're after it. Well, he says, then the love of God cannot be fulfilled in you. Why? Because the world saps the love of God out of you. That's why. If you love the world and the things in the world, whatever love is there is being sapped out of you, because the world won't let you have time for commitment. The world won't let you have time for a prayer life or studying the Word of God. If you love the world, the world won't let you have time to be committed, regular, coming to meetings. It's not rocket science. That's what it does. It starts to draw you away. And then one makes excuses and tries to cover up, but eventually it gives itself away. The world will affect love. It will affect your love for God. It will affect you experiencing God's love. The enemy is not stupid. And that's why he holds the world in blindness. He's put the scales over people's eyes so that they can't see. And it takes the mercy and grace of God and your prayers to remove those scales so that they can see. You see, if you love the Lord, you cannot continue to sin. There is something within you just doesn't rest until it's brought up under the blood of the Lamb. And thank God for that. You see, the lack of love sets one affection on the world and all that it can give, and it can be very gratifying. Oh, the world can give a lot, and it's nice. It's interesting. But it ain't going to get you into the kingdom of heaven, because it saps the love of God out of you. What does 1 John 4, 20-21 say? 1 John 4, 20-21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Well, we all know that one. But there are still professing believers that don't have insight to that. They still hold resentment, unforgiveness. And you'll always know when it's there, because it comes up periodically. It comes up from years and years back. And they can recite and say it word for word in accuracy. They're just indications that there is unforgiveness still present. And you cannot love. You cannot love God. You can tell you love God until you're blue in the face. But it's going to go no higher than the ceiling. And we've all of us had to deal with that one. Sometimes you have to be completely honest. Lord, I can't love that person in the natural. They bring the worst out in me. But I want to. And I must. And it's right for your glory. Please help me. Please put that love within my heart. Do you think your Heavenly Father's going to turn a deaf ear to that? Not at all. Because it's a sign you mean business. It's a sign you love him. You humble yourself before him. And finally, his love disposes us to love the brethren, to love one another. Because if we don't have that love one for another, that care, that concern, forget it. It ain't going to work. And what does it say in Psalm 91 verse 14? Psalm 91 verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Look what the Lord puts there. Hallelujah. What does Psalm 145 tell us? Psalm 145 and verse 20. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So over and over again, God says he preserves, he blesses those who love him. And I finally want to end with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I know there's quite a few scriptures here, but I just want the word of God to really speak and to guide us in what we talk on. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You can't even begin to consider, even think or see or even imagine what he has prepared for those who love him. How could we not? How could we turn our backs on him? God's great love. And all he asks of us is to love him. And he even helps us with that, does he not? Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. My love for God. That's what we've been talking about and discussing. And I trust and hope that you've been blessed. Yes, challenged. But you're realizing more and more why we labor and make so much over these promises. And remember, he has said, my commandments are not burdensome. They are not. If we love the Lord with all our hearts.
Let him in constancy follow.